Well, let's open this lesson up again as we're talking about the power of the seed, that the theme of this is. And let's look at Matthew 13, starting in verse 18. And we were looking at this on Sunday. And it says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Now, the sower is the one who sows the seed. "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart." And we took some time to just point out in Scripture, you know, for anybody who had a question, how could the devil steal seed that's sown in one's heart? It says they understandeth it not. And I just highlighted a few scriptures that it says in Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So you can see, and then in Proverbs 18:1, it says, "Through desire a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in" what? "Understanding." So this here, when we talk about, and it goes on to say that this is he which received seed by the wayside. And the New Living Translation talks about it, the wayside as a footpath. And so that's something that's trodden down. It's hard. And anytime you take seed, and what is the ground supposed to represent? It's supposed to represent our hearts. So if your heart is hard to something, then it kind of means it's being rejected. It's not being received. And so we spent a few minutes on Sunday just pointing out that when we look at this particular scripture, when it talks about sown by the wayside, and then it continues in stony places and thorny places and good ground, that all of us would have to admit, unless you've come to that place, but all of us would have to admit that in some area of your life, there may be a hard place. Something where you go, I don't know about that. Let me think about that. Because here's how you know. When you're presented with an opportunity to act on the word, then you'll find out whether or not you really believe that, whether it's been a hard place, a thorny place, or rocky soil. Because it goes on to say that if it's a thorny place, then persecution and those things that come up that choke the word. It says persecution and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. So we have to constantly make sure that we're planting seed in the ground, watering it, and applying that to our hearts so that it does what? Just think about, if you don't think that we've all arrived, think about what Romans 12:2 says. It says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye" what? "Transformed by the renewing of your mind." So that means that this Christian walk, this Christian life, is a constant transformation, right? So that means we're always being transformed in our thinking and our minds, which affects our heart, right? So that also means to me that when we take the word of God and feed on it, that this transformation is how does the transformation take place? By the seed. The seed has the power in it to transform us. The seed has the power in it to transform our thinking. What do we say? "I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the seed, for it," the seed, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, right? So it's got to be that you believe the seed. You've got to believe the word of God. So this goes on, it says, but he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. And yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground. So that good ground is our heart. That's a ground that's what? Ready to receive seed. That's a heart that's ready to take the seed, and there's nothing that would obstruct the growth of that seed, right? Is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. See the difference? The wayside understandeth it not. The good ground, which is on the opposite end of the spectrum, right, understandeth it. It understandeth it, which it goes on to say also beareth fruit, beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. So you can see here that the wayside or the footpath or the hard rocky, not rocky, but just trodden down, and then the rocky soil, and then what? The thorny place, none of those produced, right? None of them produced. So it was only the good ground that produced some 30, some 60, and some hundredfold. So as we were sharing, there's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed is perfect. It's incorruptible and will produce if the right conditions are met, right? So when we look at that, it's based on the ground. The ground is the key, and that's our hearts. And that's why when we look at these scriptures in Proverbs chapter 4, And it says, my son, attend, what? Attend to my words, attend to the seed. Attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Incline thine ear unto the seed. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. See this? Keep the seed in the midst of your heart. Keep it in there. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart, keep the ground with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That just means, if you read in some translations, that word issues is really extremities or boundaries. So we set the boundaries of our life based on the seed that gets sown in our hearts. Because you think about it, little seed, little harvest. You can set boundaries. And what do I mean by that? The other three grounds didn't produce. So boundaries were set, right? Think about that. One didn't produce. Another one, you know, the devil stole the seed. So when you look at the ground, if we don't keep our heart with all diligence, we can set boundaries. That's why I said, for the issues, the boundaries of life are set. Can be set by what comes out of your heart, the fruit that comes out of your heart. What does it say in Proverbs 18? I'm just thinking about this. Death and life is in the what? The power of the tongue. For they that love it shall do what? Eat the fruit thereof. Eat what comes out of your mouth. You'll eat the fruit or the byproduct of what comes out of your mouth. So what's coming out of our mouth is the fruit of seeds that we've allowed planted in our hearts, right? And then you start talking them, you're producing something. You're producing fruit. So it's important that we keep our hearts, guard them at all costs. Hallelujah. I just want to read this because this was really a great scripture in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed. remaineth in him. The seed of God remaineth in us. So it goes on to say, and he cannot sin, for he is born of God. And the New Living just says that once you're born into the family, that you do not make a practice of sinning. Doesn't mean you might not miss it, but you don't practice sin. You're not comfortable with doing that in certain things anymore. You're just not comfortable because why? His seed remains in us, in our spirits. And so he's changed us from the inside. And I read this Sunday that the word seed in the Greek is the word sperma, S-P-E-R-M-A. It means something sown that is seed. And I said, it is where we get the word sperm from. The Greek word sperma, it's where we get the word sperm. So God injected his own seed into us the day we got born again. That's what the scripture said. His seed remaineth in us. So he injected his seed into our spirit when we got born again, when we accepted him as the Lord. So just as the sperm of a human father carries the DNA of that father, God's seed, his word, the word of God, carries the life and nature of God within it. The word of God does. Carries his very nature. That's why when it talks about God is love, well, then we could also say the word, the seed is love. When I get that into my heart, it will produce his very nature, right? It'll produce after him. So when we get enough of God's word in us, we'll begin to what? Look like him, talk like him, act like him. So we will be like him if we get enough of the seed in us and we don't tear it up. We don't disrupt it. So when the divine seed was implanted on the inside of you, it imparted the very nature of God himself to your spirit. The seed did that. The seed of God's word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And of course, we know the scripture in 1 Peter. It says, but being born again, not of corruptible seed, 1 Peter 1:23, but of incorruptible seed, what? The word, by the word of God, which what? Liveth and abideth forever. So the word of God is incorruptible seed. Every time we meditate on it, every time we feed on it, we're taking in seed. We're either watering or taking something in and planting. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this is so exciting to me. And then let me just... you can jump over here. Just let's look at this scripture for a moment. Isaiah 55, verses 9, 10, and 11. Isaiah 55, 9, 10, and 11. And it says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So he goes on, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me, what? Void. That means non-producing. So that means it has to work. There's nothing wrong with the seed. It will work. The seed will work. But it's, what does it continue to say? But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So as long as I get the seed in me and I keep it in there, it has to prosper. It must bring forth fruit. It must. That's why if we just keep in mind, and let me just jump here for a moment, because I was sharing this Sunday an excerpt from Christ the Healer, which I think was just a tremendous insight by F.F. Bosworth in Christ the Healer. This is what he said. This is why I'm talking about the seed will work. It must work. It has to work. If we don't let go of the seed, if we keep looking at it, set our attention on the seed, it must produce. The seed must produce. So this is what he said from this area. It's on healing, but it's still on the subject of faith. And he made this point in Christ the Healer. He said, we should realize that the five senses belong to the natural man and that they were given to us to be used for the things of this world. But the things of God cannot be discerned, appropriated, and known by the natural senses. So our natural senses cannot know or discern or appropriate the things of God and cannot be determined by our natural senses. Yes, we look upon them, but it's supernatural. And these five senses can fool you and lie to you, and they're temporary, correct? So here's his point here. He says, no physical sensation, such as pain, weakness, or sickness, can ever be a good reason for doubting the fulfillment of any divine promise. These five senses, and he says no physical sensation, and he's talking about healing, but the point is still made. We cannot look at things in the natural and determine that God's seed is not working. That's the point. Whether you're talking about healing, whether you're talking about prosperity, whether you're talking about anything, we cannot use these five senses to determine the outcome of the seed. We cannot. And that's his point. That's what I took from that, because it's truth. Amen. And so we look at those things. I mean, you think about the examples we have. Look at Moses. Look at Abraham. Look at all of them. If their five senses would tell him anything, we'd say, forget it. If I raise his knife and kill my son, is it? But he said he staggered not at the promise of God. He staggered not. He went ahead. And what did he say? The Lord will provide. Yes. The Lord will provide. Now you just think about how you'd feel if somebody said, take your son up and kill him. Offer him as a sacrifice. Well, I tell you, that'll mess with your mind. It'll mess with your five senses. But we are to do what? Walk by faith and not by sight. So we're to not walk by these five senses that we have. We're to walk by faith. These five senses, as he said, cannot determine the fulfillment of any divine promise. They cannot. He said, how foolish, he continues, how foolish it would be to doubt the promise of Christ's second coming because I felt sick or weak or had a pain. And if a pain is not a good reason for doubting one promise, it is not a good reason for doubting any promise. You see, what does God say in his scripture, in the scripture, in Titus and over Malachi, he said, he cannot lie. James, he said, he's without variableness or shadow of turning. He doesn't change. The word does not change. It will produce. What does the scripture say in Psalm? I think it's 119. Is it 119? He said, thy word is what? 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's it. The seed is forever settled. So we can't take these limited senses and determine whether the seed is working. He said it's settled. And I have to then determine in where? Your heart. Your heart. All back to the heart. You can't determine by your five senses. You see. So he goes on to say, God is just as faithful to one promise as to another. Therefore, it is equally as foolish to doubt God's promise to heal because of pain or any disagreeable feeling as it is to question Christ's second coming because of these things. Meaning, if you had a pain, well, I'm going to doubt Christ's second coming. Well, he's faithful to one promise. He's faithful to the other promises. So we cannot determine, his point is, we cannot determine the divine outcome of a promise of God based on what? Our five natural senses. They were given to us to help us in this world. I got to see things, I got to hear things, not to determine God's word. It's forever settled in heaven. The seed will produce if we get it into good ground. And don't choke it. It says, our attention and heed to the word of God is the way to get it into good ground and keep it there. Satan cannot hinder the seed from doing its work unless we allow him to get the seed out of the ground. If we allow him to get it out of the ground, then he hinders us. Right? But he can't if we don't allow him to get it out of the ground. He can only do this by getting you to turn your attention away from the word of God to your circumstances or symptoms. That's the only way he can get you to take the seed and begin to question the outcome of the seed. By doing what? Looking at your circumstances or symptoms. I wish I got an amen there. Because we all have things that we see and know and face that look like the Egyptians bearing down on us and we got nowhere to go. Right. It may not be the Egyptians, but there's something bearing down on you that's saying, you're going to die, you're not making it, you're going under, that's it. Boom, you got no way out. There's nowhere to go. And you're stuck. Anybody been there? Right? And so if we then allow those feelings and those emotions and what we see and what we feel and what we hear to determine that the seed will not work, it's not God has gone to Jamaica. He didn't hear my prayer and I'm stuck. See, it's what I was reading in Sunday that woman in the healing. A daily healing by health food by Brother Hagin. She, after he taught, he was in a location, she realized that she was not in faith for 19 years. And she kept praying over and over again and again for her healing, and she wasn't seeing the results. And the story went that she had an incurable problem, a disease, but it wasn't a terminal. And so she realized it. And she said, Brother Hagin, I realize that I've not been in faith. I've been praying about the same thing over and over again. I see what you're teaching. I've been asking God again and again to do something when if I just receive it, accept it, and now what? The seed is planted and it's working. And she said, I just needed to agree with somebody that it's done and it's working. That's what Brother Hagin would teach for all these. What things soever you desire when you pray, When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And so she just kept asking and asking and never went to the place in faith of saying, I got it. So she said, I'm coming. Just agree with me that I got it. And he said, I can do that. I'll agree with you. He said within 3 days, that which she had been standing for 19 years was gone. Because she made the right connection. She applied the principles. She was tearing up the seed. See. Now let's turn over here. I want to look at this. We looked at this on Sunday. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I tell you, this blessed me so. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. And 13. And it says that you would walk worthy of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, King James. That we would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now verse 13 is what excited me. You know, when something dawns on your spirit, when something registers and hits your spirit, it just is exciting. That's all I can say. And you know, we've all had those moments, right? You just read over a scripture, and as you're studying a topic, you know, Pastor Clinton used to say it, you know, every time when you look at a diamond and you turn it, he said, you see something different because of the facets of the diamond. You see something in that diamond, the beauty of that diamond when you turn it. It's the same thing in the Word of God. Verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Look at this. Because when ye received the Word of God, which you heard of us, what did they do? They received the seed. Ye received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, the seed. So they esteemed the seed. They esteemed it. They're not being foolish. See, they're not being a fool. They're not rejecting it. They're receiving the seed, right? They intermeddleth with, that's what it said. They intermeddleth with all things that pertain to wisdom. This is a wise man. So they receive the seed, which as it is in truth, the word of God, which what? Which effectually worketh also in you that what? That believe. You see? So the seed had to be received. And then what does it say? Which effectually worketh in you because you believed. You believed. You believed. And it's working. The seed is working. When you believe, the seed is working in me. It's working. Because I believe. I'm not being moved by my five senses. I'm not looking at things in my senses. And I believe, so the seed's working. It's bringing about a change in the conditions. It's changing the conditions. The seed, what do we say? If I plant cotton, I get cotton. I don't get bananas. If I plant marigolds, I don't get tulips. The seed will produce after its own kind. So if I plant seeds of prosperity, what am I going to get? Not healing. If I plant seeds of health and wholeness, I'm going to get healing and wholeness. If I plant seeds of love, then I'm going to get what? I'm going to operate in the love of God. That's why when we talk about the seed not producing in certain grounds, when people find it hard to walk in love, to me, it just says that they haven't planted enough seed in that area. They've either let, what does it say? They were offended and they tore it up. Something happened where maybe the seed, let's go back and look at that for a moment. Just think about it in that light. It says here in Matthew, it says, this be more like church folk here. I'm sorry, but that's just true here. Verse 20, this church folk here. But he that received the seed in stony places is the same that is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy they receive it. Glory to God. We go walk in love. Praise God, I love you. Right? Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while, continues for a while. For when tribulation and a persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's what? Offended. He's offended. Yeah, who do you think you are? You know, you walk into society and you're going to walk in love to all of those that don't like you, and then you get offended for representing the gospel. I mean, this is life. This is where everybody at one point is or was. We may not be at that point now, but you can reflect and say, well, you know what? At some point, I may have been a little bit of that. Right? It was a little rocky there. So the seed, if we're not walking in love to the degree that we should, it's because at some point it's we don't have enough seed. It's not taken root enough, and we've not watered it, and we've not acted upon it, which is really more the issue here, is that the seed, in order for it to what? That's what F.F. Bosworth was saying in his book. He said, Satan cannot hinder the seed from doing its work unless we allow him to get the seed out of the ground. How does he get the seed out of the ground? By taking offense or getting upset about something, not operating in the love of God because of the word. Now let's turn over to Joshua 1:8. Let's go over there for a moment. Let's look at that scripture here for a moment. I'm going to read from the King James. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Talking about the seed now. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's fruit bearing, isn't it? The Amplified says, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. So it's our responsibility to keep the word in our hearts, in our mouth. I'm going to have you turn to another scripture, but I have another scripture that kind of came up here. I was thinking about it Sunday. I didn't share it, but let's look at Mark 11:23 for a minute. Mark 11:23. It's 22 and 23. Mark 11. And see the whole if you look at the whole context, Jesus cursed the fig tree. Why? Because it didn't produce. And he was expecting it to have fruit, and it didn't. So we cursed it. But it was really all about fruit. Something that should have produced fruit didn't. And so here, when you look at this, in verse 23, it says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say, Now, I looked at this in a little different because it said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Say what? Say the word of God. Say the seed. Let not this book of the law depart out of your mouth. So the seed, or let's say it another way, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. We're speaking the seed. We're speaking the word of God. The seed is the word of God. We're speaking that unto a mountain. What? Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not what? Doubt. Where? In your heart. So this is how if you start doubting, then what? You're questioning the outcome of the seed of what you've spoken. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. What does it say? It effectually worketh in us that belief. So if we doubt not and believe the things that we say, the seed, we shall have. We shall have whatsoever we sayeth. We shall have it. So we've got to think about, you know, I was thinking about that scripture. And there's so many scriptures like that where you can look at the scripture in light of seed planting and harvest. Always remember, what does it say in Luke 8? The seed is the word of God. Luke 8:11. The seed is the word of God. Now let's take a look. I want to look at this scripture here. We may close on this possibly. But you never know. Numbers 21, and look at verse 8. And again, the reference here is talking about healing, but the application, you can see it where the seed is concerned. Numbers 21, verse 8, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And of course, we know this is in John chapter 3, I think is it verse 14. But it says, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he does what? Looketh upon it. Shall live. Didn't say they might live. It says they shall live if you look upon it. Now, of course, we know that this is a representation of the atonement of Christ, the atoning sacrifice here, the atonement. And it goes on. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So he looketh upon, and that's what I wanted to look at, looketh upon, right? You set your eyes, let not these words depart out of thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. Keeping a constant gaze upon the word of God. What? And not your circumstances. Keeping a constant gaze on the Christ, the seed, the word of God. And so this word look upon or looketh upon means, you know, as we would think, it means to behold, but it also means to approve. See, these are some Hebrew words that it means. It means to approve, to perceive, to regard. So when I regard something, I'm giving it my attention. I'm looking upon it. Or I'm thinking, is another word. So the condition to be healed by the Israelites was to look upon or gaze upon or fix their attention on that brazen serpent. So they looked upon. And you can see, so something, and I just want to point these things out here. Looketh means to be occupied. We're talking about that. Or to be influenced by what we are looking at. So now I'm being influenced by something that I'm looking upon. What am I looking upon? The brazen serpent. I'm not looking, I'm not fixing my gaze or attention at something else. I'm not what? Double-minded. I'm not mixed with my gazing, right? So you can see here what it, we talked about Abraham. Let's just turn quick over to Romans chapter 4. In verse 17, and it says, as it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according what? To that which was spoken. So he agreed, he believed, he received the seed of the word of God. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he what? He considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded, that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And I'm just thinking of another, talk about Sarah. Just quick turn over to Hebrews 11. Talks about Sarah, the deadness of Sarah's womb. But look at Hebrews 11:11. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. That word strength is dunamis. That's miracle working power. She received strength to conceive seed. Why? Because of her faith. And was delivered of a child when she was what? Past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. See, the seed will produce. The seed will produce if we judge him faithful. And we set our affections and looketh upon the seed. Look to the word of God. Don't let it depart from thine eyes. Keep it in the midst of thine heart. For it is life and health to all your flesh. And it will produce. Hallelujah. So, continuing with that, looking also means attention. So, I'll give you a scripture. Mark 4, verse 24, chapter 4 of Mark and verse 24 says, and he said unto them, take heed, this is Jesus now, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear more, unto you that hear shall more be given. See, so he's saying, take heed. The New Living Translation says, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given. And you will receive even more. So as we pay attention to it, as we receive it, and we focus our attention on it, the New Living is saying, the closer you listen, the more you pay attention to it. It says here, the more understanding you'll be given. The entrance of his word giveth light. And it giveth what? Understanding unto the simple. So the more we feed on the word of God, the more light comes in, the more understanding comes. Right? You don't have to turn here. I'll read this. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. See, in the New Living it says, so we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. So you've got to constantly, what does that say? My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. You have to do what? As it says, pay close attention to what you hear, or you possibly could drift away from it. You become a forgetful, as James says, you become a forgetful hearer. You become a forgetful hearer, right? So we have to pay attention to the word of God, the seed, because the seed will produce. It will produce. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in order for the seed to produce or be activated, you must what? Receive it, and you have to believe it or act on it. And if you believe or act on the seed, it will produce. It will produce. It's forever settled in heaven. That ought to give us some hope, because God gave us seed that's incorruptible. You know, in some ways, yes, we face obstacles and mountains. You know, when you think about it, what kind of a mountain would a seed have to push through? The obstacle that a seed in the ground would have to push through the ground to pop out. That's a lot of obstacle there, isn't it? But it has the power in it to begin to germinate and push through the ground, the obstacle of the ground. It has the power in it to produce. You think about that, that acorn has got an acorn tree in it. It will produce if you put it in the ground and you don't tear it up, right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So looking also means expectation. When we look, we expect. More we focus on the word of God, we expect. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen, not seen, not seen. I'm expecting something not seen. I don't see the harvest yet, but I expect it. Because the seed will produce the harvest. No farmer plants seed, and you just think about it, no farmer would plant acres and acres of seed. Most of these farmers, they expect the crop. All things in the natural, you know, again, if there's conditions that can tear it up, we understand that. But if the season is good, they're going to get a harvest. No farmer goes out and spends hundreds of thousands of dollars to invest in equipment to harvest it if he didn't expect a harvest. See, and it's the same thing with us. We have to, looking at the seed means that we're expecting a harvest. We're expecting something. And again, looking means a continuous stare until we see the harvest. This is not a mere glance. We just don't glance at it. We stare at it. That's what he said. Everyone that looketh upon that brazen serpent, you stare at it, you focused your attention on it, you expected to be healed. Because the Lord spoke and said, everyone that looketh upon this brazen serpent shall be healed. So they came expecting to be healed. They came expecting. Same thing with us. When we focus our gaze and our attention and our thoughts and get our mind and focus on the word of God, we're focusing our attention on the seed. We're focusing our attention on the seed. When we do, you know, just think about it. How much more we have a better covenant established on what? Better promises. Thinking about promises, let's close with this scripture. Go over to, I think it's 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that what? Pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. How do we get that? Through the knowledge of him, through the word of God, through the seed that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises that by these what? These great and precious promises. What is that? The seed. That by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. So I'm literally partaking of his divine nature when I do what? Take the seed. When I take the seed and I get it into my heart and I let it stay there, it will produce some 30, some 60, some hundredfold. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just keep that in mind. The seed, there's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed is incorruptible. The seed, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The seed is the Word of God. You can't separate the Word from God. It is God. It's his very DNA impregnated into the seed. That's why if we get that seed down in our spirit and enough of it, and we let it nurture in there, and we nurture it, right, that we'll begin to do what? Look like him, act like him, talk like him, function like him, because what? We are the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. I hope you're getting some things out of this. I'll tell you, it's helping me to meditate on this a little more, that not saying that we've handled frivolously things. It's just meditating on it, letting the light of God's word come in. If there are hard places or rocky soil or thorny places, the word will expose that. It'll expose it in our lives and say, you know what? You haven't let the seed grow in that area. You know, think about it. Brother Hagin talked about this. He said, you know, he was prosperous in the area of healing because he worked the word, because he was raised from a deathbed. But he didn't function properly or prosperously in the area of finances. He struggled. And it wasn't until he got light in that area that it helped him. And it's the same thing for me. Years ago, I was not seeing the fruit of my giving, my seed sowing. And I began to meditate on that, say, okay, what's going on? What's going on? And in a time of prayer, I heard the Holy Ghost. And I thought, you know, and when I was praying, it was during a time when I had some symptoms in my body. I had a very high fever, and I'm praying, and I thought he was going to say something about my health. And he started to talk to me about my finances. God has a way about that. And so he said to me, very clear, I heard his voice. He said, if you'll work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. What does that mean, working? That means speaking the seed, not letting it depart out of thy mouth, meditating on it day and night, that you'll make your way prosperous. That means you'll have more than enough. So we've got to plant the seed, water it, and then we've got to meditate on it day and night. We've got to set our attention to it and fix our gaze upon it and not let it depart out of our mouths. You know, the biggest obstacles sometimes we face are these five, these eye gates and ear gates. And we see things that look like there's no way I'm going to ever reach this destination or reach this. But don't let, that's what F.F. Bosworth said, do not let these five senses determine the divine outcome of the seed. Do not. Now again, you know, when I was sharing Sunday, sometimes, you know, people get in the ditch over on the other side. They ignore symptoms in their body. They don't go to the doctor. They don't get things checked. And then they say, well, I was believing God. Yes, you were, but are you at a place where the seed is producing to give you the fruit or the results that you need? So go get the help you need. But at the same time, keep watering, keep feeding, because the seed will cause your organs and body to function properly. I just love that story with Jessica Warrick. You know, when the Warrick family was here, she was going to Rhema, you know, a number in her family, her dad and her and his other children. And they relocated from here to Broken Arrow. They started going to Rhema. And she wore an insulin pump. She had to have it injected. Now, some people, they use a pen or they use different various methods to inject insulin, depending on the degree of the problem. She had a pump, and it had to constantly be injected in her. And so when they went out to Rhema, I remember a few years ago, I was talking to her dad, and I said, "Hey, Ken, how's it going?" You know, and so forth. And he said, "Hey," I said, "How's Jess?" He said, "She don't have to wear the pump anymore." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yep. When she went to Rhema, every day," see, Rhema goes from 8:30 to 12:30. When they got done, she would go to prayer and healing school every, as many times as they had it in session, maybe three times a week, four times a week. Every day, she went to prayer and healing school. And after 2 years, her pancreas, he said, just started to function normally. So she don't need the pump, because now it just starts working. Only the seed, the life that's in the word, can make organs function normally. Only the seed can do that. It's what? Incorruptible seed. And so I always say, if you need to get help, get help. But in the meantime, keep putting the word in. Keep speaking the word. Keep speaking the word. I remember Mrs. Hagen. She fell on her tailbone, her coccyx bone. She said the pain was so bad. She went to the doctor. They gave her some medicine to suppress the pain. They gave her the most they could give her. It did nothing for her. She said it didn't work. And the doctor said, "I'm sorry, you're just going to have to live with it." She said. And Pastor Hagen said, "Honey, just say the healing power of God is at work in me, affecting a healing and a cure in your body. You say that." She said, "I said it hundreds and hundreds of times a day." And she said, after about 3 or 4 months, the pain started to go away. And after 6 months, nothing. So the seed will work. The seed will produce. The seed will produce healing. The seed will produce prosperity if we let it get in and we keep working it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's the power of the seed. The power of the seed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God wants us to elevate our respect of the word and our view of the word, that it is divine seed and will produce. This is why when you see areas of your country, you'll see certain areas that prosper and certain areas that don't, because they've rejected the seed. Because wherever it's received, you can, you know, we interact with some of these directors from Rhema that go over in some of these foreign countries that are poor as ghetto. Still, they accept the seed, they receive it, and what happens? They begin to prosper. See? So wherever the seed is embraced and planted, they will prosper. Wherever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the seed of the word of God. Thank you that it's producing in us. Thank you that the seed has been received in us. And we thank you for opportunities, great opportunities, to meditate upon it, think upon it, speak it, and keep it nurtured. And we guard our hearts with all diligence. And we thank you, Father, that we are prosperous, we are healthy, we are your sons and daughters. And your word says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The seed that's in us is greater. It's greater. Greater. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for this precious word that you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm thinking about this. You know, anybody who's done flowering, you know, you do stuff. You know, I was around it as a kid all my life growing up, you know. You go to the store and get a packet of seeds. The potential's in it. But if you just put it up on your shelf, ain't doing nothing. You could have a pack of seeds for years. Just stick it up on the shelf. The potential's in it. You know, somebody said, well, you know, I got my seed sitting up on the shelf. And it's got the potential to make you healthy and whole and prosperous, but you haven't received it. Effectually worketh in you that believe. You got to believe the word. You got to believe the seed. It is the power of God. To what does the scripture say? He that is born of God overcometh the world. And we're born of the seed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God.